BetterHelp. I love BetterHelp. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp Customized Online Therapy. Listeners get 10% off their first month at BetterHelp.com/Stanhope. That's BetterHelp.com/Stanhope. Helix Sleep. Big shout out today to Helix Sleep. Take their 2-minute sleep quiz and they'll match you to a mattress that will give you the best sleep of your life. Helix is offering up to $200 off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Find your perfect mattress at helixsleep.com/Stanhope.
You're listening to the Doug Stanhope Podcast.
A long time coming. We have Michael Biehn finally back in town while I'm back in town, along with Chad Shank and the Traileys.
Right on.
And of course, Mrs. Biehn on the bed. We have the bed in the funhouse because we're redoing the little house. And I think I'm going to keep it and fuck those old guys that for...
What?
What?
Whoa, whoa.
I knew it was for some nefarious purpose, but that's not the one that I get.
Well, when football starts...
Old, for starters.
I just had to get it out of the way because the painting and the flooring. But no, neighbor Dave and Fred that come for football. All right, come on in. Hello. Yeah, 7:30 is a long way from now. We're 6:30. No, that's us. 6:30 podcast. But make yourself at home on the patio. There's sloppy joes out there and snacks and there's probably no cocktails. But we'll figure it out.
Tracy,
we'll
can you run out there?
I'll take orders.
Anyway, so thank you, Tracy. See, we're doing karaoke after this, and I told people, yeah, well, about 7:38 we'll be done the podcast. So yeah, that's why I just called Bingo. I go, do you think you could sit out there? Because people are going to show up early and you can police it. And she goes, I wasn't going to come. So anyway, but yeah, the old men's row during football is Fred, who's 80, and Dave, who might as well be 80. And they get the back row right where the bed is now. And I'm like, this bed is great. I could sit in bed and watch 5 TVs of different games. So I bought new bar stools, really good ones, so they can sit at the bar. Fuck them.
While you lay in bed?
Yeah. Well, I 3 of us can lay in bed. We can figure out how
well,
to.
Well, you and neighbor Dave. That, yeah.
Neighbor Dave and I and his CPAP, his oxygen.
Adam's going to lay in the bed. He's going to throw chicken bones to the peasants while he lays there watching football.
I wasn't talking about you being old yet. But every time with Biehn, every conversation is also trivia where you
Oh, here we go. It's the same bit. He's been doing it for 2 years on me.
Yeah, but not on Listen, the podcast.
You haven't? You didn't?
Maybe
you
we did.
See, your memory is worse. Your long-term memory is worse than my short-term memory. So you don't remember
a lot of shit. I just tweeted something. Like, I remember more of the 90s than I do of the last 20 years.
You whenever I bring up a reference from the 80s or 90s, you always have it down. So you do remember that. You just don't remember shit when it has to do with me. For some reason, I'm not sure what that's all about. But like when you went on Adam Carolla and said, yeah, no, what? You're Michael Biehn's son? What? I had no idea. Yeah.
That Michael Biehn's son works for the Adam Carolla show.
Like 6 times. Like I wouldn't be bragging on any of my children.
So no. What you probably told me is you go, my son works in radio or podcast. The guy, the tall guy with the hammer. And I would go, and then I would just give up. And yeah.
What probably happened is you said, my son were, and he just tuned you out. After those words,
I think that happens a lot.
I only do that with children that aren't adults. Like well, the rest of his kids are adults. I tune out the
whatever. I don't care what about.
The 7-year-old. I tune out any story about that.
Well, I had to, talk to my son, and because he is one of my children, and I am proud of him. And I had to tell him, I fucking told Doug like 5 times. Doug is not the kind of guy that you talk to about your children. He's not that guy.
No, I mean, the adult ones, they're ones, the actor in London. And,
yeah. Oh, where?
And then another one just had went through some fucking problems. And
Marital
problem? And mother wouldn't let you come home early for karaoke last time because you never visit for long enough. And I know your wife Jen was trying to make you go directly from whatever gig you were at and skip seeing your mother so she could sing karaoke.
That's what happened, but we did stop 15 minutes before we got to Lake Havasu where she lived. Friend of hers called her up. I tested fucking positive. She had lunch with her the day before. I tested positive for COVID. My mom's 92, nurse practitioner. She's like, yeah, get the fuck away from me. 15 minutes out of Lake Havasu, 5-hour drive. All right, both brothers, go fuck yourself.
That was a smart plan of you to say that your friend got COVID, huh? That was ingenious.
It almost worked.
We were going to, since we put the bed in here, we were going to do one of our first podcasts or near the beginning it was called Pillow Talk Podcast. It was Bingo's sister and we had a very small motel room in Montana. So there's no place to set. So we go, we'll just do it in bed. So it's me and her laying in bed and Chad at the foot of the bed and
I was in bed with
Chaley's in bed with the recording and the cans on, with the mixer on his chest. And it was really funny.
Great times, weren't they?
Well, that's one of the reasons I bought that stupid chair to go beside the bed. I was going to do Pillow Talk with you and I in bed and have Chad Shank in that third chair as the co-host. And
old co-host. Well, I just have to watch.
What happened is. Bed.
At least you're not an old man.
I don't even get a microphone.
You're an old man, you end up in the bed.
Yeah, you did say.
Mrs. Bean told me, oh, you have to find this this on YouTube. There's Michael Bean is on Jay Leno with Richard Simmons as the secondary guest. And it's if you're listening, look it up. It's so fucking funny because Richard Simmons had been the first guest. Michael Bean comes out and Richard Simmons just won't stop like camping it up and just trying to get his face in the camera and being ridiculous. Fucking Bean can't finish his sentence. Okay.
Can't finish my sentence anyway. But
I mean, you were young and spry back then.
Fucking, I had a great line that they cut from the show, which was "Where's O.J. Simpson when you need him?" Cut it out of the show. My best line of the night. Jaylen,
like even you, the clothes.
Are you? I'm looking it up.
Are you still off the booze, man? You look great. Thanks, you man. Look, boy. There's a big difference. Can you imagine what Stanhope would look like if he stopped? Now I can see why Tracy was kind of interested in you at one point in your life.
What talk show was it, Doug?
Did you Leno. Oh, Tonight Show.
It's on YouTube. You can find it easy. Just put Michael Bean, Richard Simmons. But yeah.
So we're about to go down a Michael Bean rabbit hole. It's not only is it funny with Leno, but Leno even apologizes. He goes, hopefully you can come back sometime when it's a little less Richard Simmons, basically.
He never had me back, but he had Richard Simmons back multiple times after that.
Yeah, no, being a douchebag sells tickets.
Yeah.
You got a gift basket. Well, then we go down the Michael Bean rabbit hole, but it ends quickly because the next one, Michael Bean is on Cameo. Please get a Cameo from Michael Bean. There's someone posted a Cameo that you sent him. It's 4 minutes long, and you're laying in bed. You couldn't even bother to sit up to do the Cameo. You're talking really nice. And then I realized, no, we're not doing the Pillow Talk Podcast with Michael Bean, because then we'd all be laying down and talking like this, like you do when your chin's in your neck.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a really fucking lazy cameo. But it was very heartfelt, but I would suggest sitting up.
All very heartfelt, Doug. My fans are very, very important to me. And if they need a message, if they need a little uplift, a little help.
Yeah.
There for them. Although I did say to Jennifer, I don't want to do this shit anymore, Jennifer. She goes, you got one more and then we'll just, stop it.
Are you really?
I think so. I get lazy, and I just like they sit there and like 3 days and then 2 days and you know and then time comes up. We've already taken the money, and she starts in on me in a very beautiful way, in a wonderfully nice, wonderfully wifely fashion. You got to do that cameo. You got to do that cameo. All right.
I would crash your cameos, but I don't think we have a lot of crossover in fans.
Turns out we don't.
But you're on Twitter now. It's Real Bean.
I am on Twitter.
B-I-E-H-N.
Still trying to figure it out. Most people are, most of the stuff Jennifer puts up for me, like, you know, it seems like a lot of work. It, you know, and I don't really need to promote myself for any reason. It just seems like I every once in a while, it's like, really? My opinion or my thoughts?
Yeah, like, don't put your opinions out there.
Twitter used to be fun whenever you like to interact with people and stuff.
It was different. It was different than
like a repository of just like, if you're mad that your cable company is fucking making you wait too long on the phone, that's just the place where you vent. That's all it is now.
I do that at home to my 7-year-old child. I've got a place for venting. It's home. This is like deja vu all over again, right?
How so?
I'm getting everybody all high.
Four of us doing a podcast?
Yeah. You've been gone for a while.
What was it? A year?
I have no idea.
A couple years.
Oh, that's right. Because, yeah, that fucking asterisk year of COVID. You guys weren't... Oh, yeah. You were there for some for football.
Yeah, we had a spacing out at the patio.
I didn't come by for COVID at all, so I haven't seen you guys in a while. Not because of that. I've just used that as an excuse.
Yeah, I'm very used to not leaving
Best
the property.
Excuse ever. How much of yourself do you watch? Because
of myself?
Yeah, like because when I'm on Rogan,
you're always
saying
myself,
you should have talked more about me on Rogan. And then Corolla. No, I don't know if you're watching me or you watch everything that you might be mentioned in.
I do. I'm obsessed with myself, Doug. You know that. Can't get enough of me.
Well, we had this kid, the couple that came, David and...
Lauren
and...
Tedder.
Yep.
Yeah, the Tedders. And that's when you were going to miss karaoke and the show night where we're filming, but... The guy was like, he brought you up. Like, I was hoping to run into Michael Bean because he's all into this Tombstone shit for tattoo reasons. But I said, hang on. I called Michael Bean up and I go, you talk to him about Tombstone and he won't stop. And you lived right up to what I had promoted.
Yeah,
but that guy was over the fucking moon.
Yeah. Well, if he went to that website, that's about all the information.
Which
that
he did, by the way.
Yeah.
He devoured the whole thing.
There's no more information that I really know than that is not on the website. I kind of got tired of that whole thing. You know, I was quite into it when I first moved to Bisbee and was looking for the grave and all that. Now it's just like, yeah.
Yeah, I was all into the renovating the guest house until I did Primer for about 35 minutes. Sweating my balls off, and right then the guy we hired showed up. He said, I'm not going to be able to make it till later. I go, oh, go get it started.
Doug goes, I want to paint. I go, all right, I'll go in there, I'll set you up because some other guy's doing it, getting paid for it. I'm not going to fucking do it. So I get the paint in there. We got kills, we're going to put on primer, right? And I go, Doug, I'm like, got my back to him, and Doug's got like a tray of paint and then the roller thing, and I set it out for him, and I'm like, getting my paintbrush ready because I'm going to cut the corners. Paint in the corners and go along.
Yep.
And I go, all right, Doug. And I spin around to be like, I'm going to start here. And he's already just like going all over the place. Not like doing the W and then crossing the W and then filling it in. He's just like one straight line and then goes and fills up the thing. But I go, I'm staying in here for the whole thing.
I still have primer on me from days ago that I don't want to take off because it shows I worked for at least 35 minutes once in my life.
I'm still sore.
That's like the guy that puts together, wants to build his own motorcycle, so he has all the pieces, and then he's like, ah, fuck, no, you put it together. Yeah. Now the guy that he hires is like, ah, oh, fuck. Give me this mess. Basket of fuck.
So you're going to Australia?
Yeah. Yes.
You never talk about your projects.
Yeah, well, you know, these days people like to make announcements. There's some other cast members that they're rolling around trying to get. And so I don't, yeah, I'm going to Australia.
Where?
I don't know.
The
outback, you know.
Perth. That's my favorite. Sydney and Perth and Brisbane.
Brisbane is the base.
Brisbane. Yeah,
Brisbane.
We'll work on your.
My dingle lingo.
Say that when you get there for sure.
They're horrible racists where you go on stage in a fucking sold out theater and go, you guys are wicked racist. And they go, no!
Awful. I watched a documentary once about call centers that are like in India and places, and it was all about how racist Australia was to the call center people.
Oh, God. Oh, wow. Yeah.
I do. There's times where you go, listen, I can't understand a fucking word you're saying, and this bill needs to be paid. Like, this is, I'm not trying to be fucking jingoistic or whatever that word is. But I really need to talk to someone who speaks English because I have no fucking idea what you're saying. And I'm sure you're a great person.
I just get mad and try to say the meanest thing possible. That's why I stay home, because somebody will film me just on like saying horrible shit. I'm not racist. I was just trying to hurt that guy's fucking feelings, man. Yeah. I'm mad. I'm that asshole. That's why I don't think
that made it into the cut, because I used to, when I did that Indian call center bit that was on the last special.
Madison.
Yeah, but yeah. It was DirecTV, and I'm like, I'm so tired of having to deal with you fucking bumble tards, and I should just cancel this altogether because no one even watches cable. It's all stream. I go on this rant, and at the end, she goes, sir, I am not a bumble tard. And I said, you're great. I go, that's not even a word. I made that word up. And then we had a beautiful relationship on the phone after that. I go, you just fucking floored me. Not only understanding that was a slur, but it was a made up. It was a one-time only slur.
Speaking of movies that we're looking forward to doing or that we've just done, how's your what's going on?
Oh, yeah. Oh, Bobby, you know, Bobby. Caldwell.
Yep. Prison Bobby.
Prison Bobby. Yeah. He's like, oh, I can't wait till the next time I call and Michael Biehn is there. Because he wants to give you so much shit for canceling that movie. He just thinks he has dirt that he can.
Well, I think that you said that I canceled because they didn't have a script supervisor.
That was the last thing.
There were quite a few things that were going on with that movie.
Yeah.
The fact that you only got. Well, I've since found out you got no shots your first day or one. Originally, I thought it was one shot your first week. I was going to get to the fact that they seemed to do one shot and then just move on very slowly to the next shot. And,
Let's go back to the beginning where I showed you the script and you texted me and said, hey, I put in for the role of so-and-so.
Yeah. Mikey.
The wrong name.
Mikey.
I did.
Yeah. I put the wrong name.
The one he was supposed to be was Mikey, but he fucked it up and said another
Mickey,
one.
Mickey.
Mikey. It was your goddamn name. And you said, oh, no, I think it's the other guy. I'm like, because I think we probably went over this on a podcast that you weren't on, but we were, Hennigan and I were sweating, like, how do we tell him that you're not the right age to play the guy that you said?
Right.
And then, thank God, oh, he's talking about Mikey. That, yeah, you could definitely play that role.
And it was a good script, and it was a good role. Nice little 10 pages right there in the middle of your movie.
And they didn't believe that you actually wanted to play. It was a good part. It wasn't like two lines or anything. It was a sizable part, but it wasn't a starring role. And they're like, he really wants to do this.
Like that day when you shot, I was like surprised. That was, you did like no dialogue and Fitzsimmons was talking the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a good chunk. It was a good amount of lines as far as that goes.
It definitely was. I just, you know, when you're doing something professionally that you've been doing for a long time and it all of a sudden you're put into a situation, which I'm sure you both have been, and I have been, where it's not like anything that you're used to, it, you know, I do that for a living. You did that for a goof.
Yes,
you
know, exactly.
You went and did that movie for a goof, and you said, come on, well, yeah, we'll have some fun. It sounded like fun until, you know.
Well, but production-wise, it was just fucking dominoes of shit falling at your heels the whole time.
I know.
But I'd gotten paid up front. And I'm like, this is everyone else's problem. Every day to have to remind myself.
I was going to get my $700 up front too.
Again, all you're doing. I didn't say, hey, Michael, you should really be in this picture.
No, I know.
No, you
I
did.
Wanted to
support. Well, so as you. Shit's falling apart, like production-wise and behind schedule, all the other people's problems, that's where you were more and more tentative about doing it. And by the time that you said, hey, I think I might bail out on this, I'm like, yeah, you definitely should. Because all I could, like, it was already so tense that all I could imagine is fucking Michael Biehn is going to come with a director's chair with his name on it and start going, this is bullshit. That's bullshit. I spent the whole time just trying to bring levity to the set and be a kook and a goof and just try to pitch in where I can. And
you weren't drinking at all. You were playing a booze hound and you didn't drink the entire show, right? Is that correct?
Not while I was filming.
Right.
When I got home, yeah. I went right to the Outback Steakhouse where I was staying. My only choice of eating. I ate at fucking Outback Steakhouse
Hotel.
Oh, yeah. I've been at a couple of those.
Well, no, it was part of the hotel. So, yeah, I'm like, oh, fuck it, thank God. Because I was like, that was my biggest worry, is you showing up angry.
No, I wouldn't. You know what? The best thing about it was, I mean, the difficult thing was that I didn't want to let you down. I wanted to support you. I wanted to like you. And I thought it was a good script. I thought it was a good part. And I wanted to show my friendship and my support and be there for you. And you very nicely kind of, and I was very anxious about telling you that you hear a little grunt back there by Jennifer. She knows how anxious I was about telling you and trying to figure out how to tell you I wanted to bail on it. And you were actually pretty nice about, like, yeah, go ahead, Michael. I don't give a shit.
You know? Yeah, I'm here for a story.
Yeah, I know.
We're not going to walking down any red carpets for that.
When are we going to see the production?
He texted me like a week ago and said it's all in the post and it'll be about a month and we'll have a movie.
When you finished filming, that would be the big post.
They were editing.
What did they have to edit? They only had one shot of every
scene. Yeah, well, they had to edit it and make it a movie without all the scenes that they couldn't shoot because of budget and time restrictions.
You're going to get a call. Doug, is there any possibility that you can come back for 6 days for the same amount of money? Mark my word.
Or they just edit it down to a TikTok.
That's where the money is. You know, more people are on TikTok than even have basic cable. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we will be back. Please hold. BetterHelp, everybody. Do you ever feel like maybe you're losing your fucking mind, or maybe everyone else is losing their fucking minds? Maybe you're right on both counts, but don't sit around and stew on it. Go to BetterHelp.com/Stanhope. Sometimes life feels like someone dropped a grumpy on your side of the bed. It can be overwhelming, and many people are burned out without even knowing it. Symptoms can include lack of motivation, feeling helpless, trapped, demented, detached, fatigued, or just all around fucked. Maybe that's a sign that you should do something about your own better mental health care. We associate burnout with work, but that's not the only cause. Any of our roles in life can lead us to feel burned out, and BetterHelp Online Therapy wants to remind you to prioritize yourself. Talking with someone can help you figure out what's causing the stress in your life. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can be matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. This podcast is proudly sponsored by BetterHelp, and Stanhope listeners get 10% off their first month at BetterHelp.com/Stanhope. That's BetterHelp.com/Stanhope. All right, we're back. Checking on the karaoke crew. Tracy's out there doing due diligence. You can leave that open now.
The contact high was smoking. You know, every time that door opens, it's like when they came in with the
Chad's the only one smoking.
Oxygen rushes in. I know, I've been cutting way back on my smoking so that I don't smoke everybody out. But
Does that oxygen fuck with your high a little bit when you're actually
and no freeze pipe.
No what?
He has a new thing. A freeze pipe is a sponsor on another podcast we do, and it's a. It's like there's glycol and it chills it down, super chills, so he can take.
It's a menthol?
Kinda, without the mint. But he takes these big, huge rips, and there's no coughing.
What is the deal? You would know this, Doug, because you're a lot smarter than me. Why are they taking menthol cigarettes away from people that like menthol cigarettes? Does anybody know the real truth behind that fucking shit?
I just remember hearing, before the internet, urban legend about menthol smokers. It's 1,000 times harder to quit, and... but I don't know if that's bullshit or not. But now it's all flavored cigarettes because they appeal to kids, where it's not kids I see smoking menthols.
I've noticed that the cigarette packs now, they don't have all that fucking you're going to die and these are your lungs, and they don't have that on.
Well, that's that's all Europe.
Canada.
Every other country.
It was here.
I don't remember seeing a picture of gross lungs.
They changed the warning. A picture of a fetus.
Or lungs.
Yeah.
I don't remember pictures on American cigarettes.
Well, pictures and warnings and this will kill you and, you know.
Bill Hicks had a bit about how they changed up every pack has a different warning, so I'm smoking low birth weight. Something to that effect.
Yeah.
I'm sure someone will email and correct me.
It seems like to the African American community to me, but
The article I read said something like, well, it disproportionately, you know, African American communities are affected, their health is, so we're trying to save these people. And I'm like, really? In that one area, that's where you're going to try to compensate? Yeah.
Oh, we live in such a great country. We look out.
I was going to tweet about the overturning Roe versus Wade, where you go, anyone that would vote for that would probably make an exclusion for minorities.
I'm not laughing.
They would. And then I go, I'm not tweeting that because I don't tweet my fucking opinions anymore. If it's anything vaguely I could maybe say on stage, from now on, my fucking opinions are, you have to pay for them. I'm not going to argue for fucking nothing on Twitter, get all upset.
You know, the whole political argument, it's so, I'm never going to change anybody's mind and they're never going to change my mind. And it's just like... it's gotten to be over the last two or three years. I'm like, I'm just done. Just completely done. I have no I have no passion about gun control. I have no passion about anything anymore. I mean, I did tweet something out about gun control.
Yeah, you did tweet something about guns, and then you tweeted like
I noticed
something that got taken about Angie Dickinson. Thank God no one knows that reference anymore. But
police woman.
But and
it was Angie Dickinson. She was on 60 Minutes. She was talking about the Me Too movement, and she said an open robe is not rape. And that's when I said to Doug, I feel better. I tweeted out, or she did it for me. I tweeted out, I feel better about one of the experiences I had at Doug Stanhope's house because I got the open robe deal from Doug Stanhope. And I don't know if we've ever talked about
that. Yeah, but it did. The tweet did not come across like that. The tweet was like, Angie Dickinson's right about rape. People weren't getting the fact because you didn't spell out the fact that, yeah.
So I'm not doing it.
I Harvey Weinstein'd you on purpose with an
Weinstein?
Open... Weinstein? Whatever.
Weinstein. Yeah, he just got thrown back in like all his... You know, he's going to do the time. What do you call it when you go back to court to try to overturn
appeal?
His appeal. His appeal just got
hands on your buzzers.
Yeah, he just appealed all his rape charges and shit a couple of days ago. They said, "Yeah, you go stay there for another 40 years." He produced a couple of movies that I did.
But nothing happened.
Well,
other than an open rope.
Were you hoping he got out on appeal so you could work again?
Yes.
What's the thing in Australia?
I you know what?
Are you going to show up?
I am going to show up. I'm going to show up. I would say at the moment it is a kind of a whore.
I'm sorry. Your fucking wife's talking to me in sign language behind you. And I don't know if she's saying, don't bring this up. All right.
Yeah. Okay. They need to do things professionally, Doug, unlike you and me. Some people take this stuff seriously and they think, well, we've got to make an announcement. It's got to be on, you know, whatever. So they kind of announce it, I probably shouldn't jump in early on your podcast.
So someone told me you were up in Alaska recently.
I didn't know that Alaska was twice the size of Texas, and I didn't know that Anchorage. I didn't know there were only 800,000 people in the entire state. That is like per square mile.
Is that true?
You know, that's 800,000 for a state that is twice as big.
Three times.
I met a couple of people from the North Pole.
They don't even know where a third of those people are.
Like I said to you earlier, if I wanted to get lost, I would definitely go to fucking Alaska.
Yeah, just an hour outside of Anchorage.
You could get lost driving home from here.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't want to get into the details.
Different kind of get lost.
I don't want to get into the details, but you did one of your fucking Comic-Con things in Bossier City, and I'll just stick to the part where you didn't, even though I told you this, you didn't listen. He thought he lost his fucking license, so he thought he couldn't fly. You can fly without an ID. It just takes a minute. They're going to fucking check you and run you through the computer and make sure your fucking story checks out, but you can still fly. He spent a week in Bossier City, waiting for a fucking ID to be mailed to him.
No, I got the ID right away. It was the weather that screwed me on that.
What's one that? Flight got canceled, or one day's worth of flights got canceled. Three days. He still could have fucking. There's no way.
Posters at the gate. That's me right there.
The big ones like the movie theater. Yeah. It's not even like a small poster.
Well, you knew Bossier. As soon as I brought it up, you're like,
Well, that's where Brett Erickson.
Nasty ass place to be stuck, Michael.
Yeah, we
just go tell them you don't need your ID to get on a plane. I thought after 9/11 that an ID of some sort was always required. I didn't want to be the guy standing there going like, I did a movie 50 years ago called The Terminator. You don't recognize me anymore? I didn't want to be
that's why
guy.
You need me as a hype man. You know who that is? That's how I get into the fucking Chappelle after party at that Netflix is a joke. Well, I didn't want to go.
Were drunk, though.
I didn't want to go. And they go, if exactly. your name's not on the list, I'm sorry. I'm like, great. But it was Christine who played my ex-girlfriend that played my ex-girlfriend on the movie. Yep. She wanted to get in. And then like three people went, oh, you don't know who that is? Let him in. And I'm like, God, I had my out by not being on the list.
Fucking fans.
And
fucking fan.
I want to ask you about, but that's still like counterintuitive to book it, but just the shit heels that you meet on these Comic-Con signing things. Like, I mean, there's the classic William Shatner Saturday Night Live bit where he's
Q&A.
Yeah, at a Comic-Con. And he's like, yeah, when's the last time you guys got laid? When's the last time you went out? Make friends. And it was a really brilliant sketch. But like, do you get where you're like, all right, you just grit your teeth and go, let's get through this guy.
You know, it's not work. Like, I'm doing something you've been doing all of your life, which is making money and not working.
Yeah, but this is the merch booth, which is the worst part of my job. And now that's not, your you only know, job is not, the merch booth. You don't have to do the movie anymore.
You know, I get lazy, you know? I can go up to Tombstone every weekend and make 10 grand. Just a 15-mile drive and just go up there and meet people who tell me how fucking awesome I am and how wonderful I am. And I'm their favorite actor. And my God, Tombstone changed their life, or Terminator, or Aliens changed their lives and their kids and their, you know, and I get lazy. It's just easy money. And it's not work. You know, when you're working on a movie set, not yours in particular, I'm talking about a regular movie where they actually have you there for 12 hours and you're actually shooting a bunch. And it's, you know, 5 days a week, 12-hour days. You got to remember your lines. You got to stand on that mark. You got to say things. You got to stand in where they're light. You know, it's work. And I thought I was going to retire, and I thought, well, I'll just do the Comic-Cons. And I did The Walking Dead, and I had kind of a fun role on that. And I thought, I like this. It's really actually the only thing that I can do is like stand on a, I can't sing, I can't dance, I can't write, I'm not funny like you.
You're very funny.
Well, but not like, you know, I can't make any money doing it. And the only thing I can do is stand on a dot and spit out fucking dialogue that somebody else has written for me. And I can do that a little bit better than other people, I think. So there you go. Blow a little bit that way. Well, there you go. Thank you. Oh, wow. Now I'm really going to start forgetting where I am. And
we're not anywhere. So you're my right at home.
Shotgun hits to Michael Bean.
We're getting Bean high like a dog. It's a fraternity prank.
Shotgun hits.
Get the elderly high. We could go to, I turned 55, so we could go to IHOP for senior breakfast together.
What?
And I can take you to Goodwill on Sunday, Mondays. We get 25% off.
I'll take Goodwill?
Yeah, I'll take you. Just buy anything you want.
Doug, here's
shopping spree, honey.
I've always wanted to dress like you.
Anything with a blue tag, Michael.
Bisbee.
So you really enjoy working Comic-Con.
Listen, they're a
break it down for us. Because it's not Comic-Con. That's like a brand and once
a
year thing.
That's the one in San Diego. But cons is what they are. The conventions. Right. And like, there's a big one in L.A. this week, Monsterpalooza. Today's the last day of it. That's usually one I would think you'd be at.
Yeah, but you know, I try to, you know, I don't. I just had too many children, too many ex-wives, and you know, so I still have some bills to pay. But I'm not like going to them like on a weekly basis. Yeah. I hear about one there, I'm going to be there. Yeah. But like, you know, Tombstone's right around the corner. If something big is like, I've never been to Alaska. I thought, hey, I'm going to go see Alaska. And if I'd known that Anchorage was
It is awful.
It's terrible, man.
It's the Anchorage worst. All you do is get in a car and drive 20 minutes one way or the other, and you would have seen it. Tracy's
in there defending her home turf.
Well, born and raised in Alaska.
Tracy. Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I feel the same way about Nebraska. And
Jesus. Okay. You drive 8 hours in any direction, you're seeing the real outside of Nebraska. Yeah, I went to Alaska a fucking million times, and I never saw the Northern Lights because I was always in a bar.
You were there mostly in the summer. Oh, no, you weren't.
Twice I went to, like, Homer or that island or something, but I never, like, oh, did you see the thing? No, I didn't see the thing. I was fucking hammered at a bar. Tracking down this fucking skanky titty dancer.
I went to high school in Arizona, and I never went to the Grand Canyon. It's like 2 hours away from where I live. Like, fuck it.
Who are the people from the North Pole that you were talking about?
What?
The North Pole people.
The people that actually live, Tracy tell you about, there's actually a place called the North Pole.
Yes.
I guess that the whole, other than Santa, there's other people that live up there.
And elves.
It's what?
The elves. Man, they're people too. See, it's now again. You're saying the wrong thing. Now we're fucking the dwarf lobby is going to come after us because you
shit on elves.
What did I do?
The dwarf lobby.
Well, you ignored the small people that work with Santa are actually people.
Yeah.
I was so worried about you. That's one of the reasons that we canned the pillow talk doing this podcast in bed is because I know you that you wouldn't be control.
I know.
Right. No, yeah, I wasn't going to be able to control you from making all sorts of homophobic remarks about all three men laying in a bed. And I'm like, yeah, we can't shut that down.
I told you before that I think it was on the podcast that we all did together 2 years ago, whenever it was, that if it wasn't for gay men, I would have no career, would never have had a career because, believe it or not, I was kind of cute when I was 20 years old.
And, yeah, when your picture kept coming up on YouTube after we watched the Leno thing, and it's always that same one. The cutout one.
Which was taken by a gay photographer, by the way. I think that was, taken by a gay photographer. All my agents were gay. My first big movie, everybody all around was gay.
I'd say half Robert the men I've had sex with were gay.
What? I missed that. What?
Yeah, Michael and I are
fool around a little bit, but what's the big deal? It's 2022.
Yeah,
so
at our age, no one cares. Yeah. Like, ugh, gross.
You do make a number.
You're
a very comfortable bottom. That's all I can say.
It's
that's a compliment.
It is a compliment. Of course, it's a compliment.
I have the bottom of a man your age.
Well, I know, but you're
squishy.
Frisky. You're frisky.
Sloppy.
It's kind of quiet over here on this side of the.
How do you erase mental images? I'm trying to figure that out.
A cleanser image.
Good God.
Silkwood shower.
Oh, yeah, please hold. Helix Sleep, Mr. Chaley, Mrs. Tracy. What do you two do on your Helix mattress? That's between you and God, and no one wants to picture it. There's nobody like you on the planet, so why would you buy a generic mattress built for everyone else? Well, I guess for the guest room, but not for me. I sleep on a Helix mattress. If you're not able to sleep because of today's politics, pandemics, your love life, regardless, Helix Sleep is going to make you find excuses to never get out of bed. Helix Sleep has a quiz that takes just 2 minutes to complete and matches your body type and sleep preferences to a perfect mattress for you. Everybody's unique and Helix knows that, so they have several different mattress models to choose from. They have soft, medium, and firm mattresses, mattresses great for cooling you down if you sleep hot, and even a Helix Plus mattress for plus size
wise folks. I took the Helix quiz and I was matched with the Sunset mattress because I wanted something that felt soft and I sleep like I'm flopping around like I'm having the DTs coming off of heroin. So if you're looking for a mattress, you take the quiz, you order the mattress that you're matched to, and the mattress comes right to your door shipped for free. You don't ever need to go to a mattress store again. Helix is awesome, but you don't need to take my word for it. Helix was awarded the number one best overall mattress pick of 2020 by both GQ and Wired magazine. Just go to helixsleep.com/stanhope, take their 2-minute sleep quiz, and they'll match you to a customized mattress that'll give you the best sleep of your life. They have a 10-year warranty and you get to try it out for 100 nights risk-free. They'll even pick it up for you if you don't love it, but you will. Helix Sleep is offering up to $200 off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners at helixsleep.com/stanhope.
You're listening to the Doug Stanhope Podcast.
You were a whore. You were a terrible whore.
No, I've never had a cock in my mouth.
Well, so. But you slept around. You're a legendary ladies' man.
No,
or you were in the day. This is we get all this from your wife. She was in a fucking line of 15 Filipino whores outside your hotel to try to bring you coffee or something. I don't know.
That's how Jennifer and I met. Yeah, over in the Philippines.
You can come chime in if you want. Like, you're desperate to add in. You can just share the mic with Michael. Yeah, there you go. She's been gesticulating behind you the entire time since we started talking. She's like, and then no ass. Yeah, she's directing. She should put that thing in your ear like that Michael Tyson thing you're talking about.
The Johnny Depp thing. I need one of those things. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. IFB?
That's what it's called.
Go back.
I don't know if that's what has, but that's
no. I was like, when we first met the two of you, obviously Jennifer is the vocal one of the two of you.
I'm the one.
I mean, we get along just fine, but Jennifer fucking tells you all the dirt, and when you forget something, like we remember words for you or references or movie titles. She gives you the director's commentary on whatever we just fed you the word, and she goes, "Oh, by the way, it was the Philippines that you met."
Yes.
Yeah, and yes. He was working on a movie and staying in some eye picture of some kind of slumlord apartment situation.
No, we're both. I was working on it with him. I was working on it with him, and I got a job with Michael Biehn. My boyfriend at the time was a big Michael Biehn fan. Not anymore, but he was a really big Michael Biehn fan when I was leaving. And I didn't know who Michael Biehn, but I knew he was the star of the movie. And so he showed me all his movies. And then I got on the plane. I was sitting next to him, and Lee Daniels was sitting behind us. Lee Daniels, the butler, Lee Daniels. Anyway, he's a big director now, but he was his manager. And I fell asleep, and he kissed me.
I like to get them when they're not. That would make today.
I remember the story.
You kiss a sleeping girl on a plane now. It's a different day and age.
Hey, she Michael was hot Biehn. In his defense.
In 21, you know.
I was 21. He was 39. And
was the movie you going to do Sleeping Beauty?
No.
Maybe he was just rehearsing, right?
He was rehearsing for that, but no. He basically, I woke up and I was horrified and then kind of interested. And he said, "I thought you were my wife. Sorry, I thought you were my wife."
It's fine. I'm getting it. It's fine. Okay.
And then from there, what happened? Oh, you need some water?
No, I'm good.
Are you just saying you're high?
No.
It's Chad's fault. If you get high, it's Chad's fault.
Yes.
And we were staying in a hotel.
Boxed in.
You were right next to him, right?
Oh, yeah. I was right. My room was right next to his room, and I would just put a glass up to the thing every day because I started. Everyone warned me, was like, stay away from that freaking guy. Stay away from him. He's bad news. You just do your job. He's bad news. And I was like, So I was like, I had a glass. He had all these like women in there with like shiny shoes and he was out jogging in a black sweatsuit for like 2 hours, but the girl would still be in there.
He's going to cut weight by from all the booze.
Yeah, so that's how we met. It was very romantic.
Yeah, so what's creepier? Her listening through your hotel room wall with a glass or him kissing you while you sleep on a plane? This is like a soft touch version of the Johnny Depp trial. Well, no, you admitted on a podcast that you were listening to him have sex with prostitutes. Why wouldn't he kiss you on a plane, Miss Heard?
Oh my God.
That's all we need is that guy that owns that trailer.
Oh my God, my favorite person.
What is he? What?
Morgan Knight.
What's the name of the trailer?
Oh, a Hicksville Trailer Palace.
Sounds like Truman Capote.
Oh, the guy that testified. All right. My phone blew up so much during the fucking especially the verdict, because you can't watch and wait for the verdict. You'd have to be really painfully like, all right, I'm just going to watch a dead air court TV as a few people and bailiffs hang around waiting for the jury to, whenever they decide, it could be 2 hours, it could be 14 days. You don't know, but you were one of the people. You were all over that trial, and I had several people I don't even know, really, that DM, like Tabitha Wallace, journalist. I read some great shit she wrote, and she was like, I want to make a fucking documentary about this, and she's like, I'm shaking. That was, and then
Jennifer was shaking?
No, I got a DM saying, I'm shaking, and I, when it's from her, I know it's just about Johnny Depp. No, not you. This Tabitha Wallace. Okay. But then my phone just bam, bam. Holy fuck, he won. Bam, bam, bam. And I'm like, that's just me as an ancillary guy.
Yeah.
I know you better than I, well, maybe not, but about the same. I don't like talk to Johnny Depp on the phone or anything.
I don't know how much you've talked about this on your own podcast.
Either do I.
But okay.
He has no idea.
But and you tell me if I'm just going over stuff.
I'm going to let you say it anyway, so I won't stop.
As long as you say it into the mic.
All right. The insight that you had, what is it, 5 or 7 years previously?
2016.
2016. The insight that you had and the bravado to write that article about what was going on with the king without the clothes on was so heartfelt. I think that I texted you back, you know, something about what a friend, what a, you know, like the insight and the loyalty is. And, you know, you called that the whole fucking thing 5 years ago in that article. You called the whole fucking thing and you kind of went out on the limb there. So I have to give you big, big props for that. That and I didn't even
there's
realize
a bullshit, that's read there's the a bullshit YouTube thing going around. I know everyone sent it to me. Where it says Amber Heard
specifically,
it's about me. Amber Heard in bigger trouble. Johnny Depp's friend is suing her. Well, no, I'm not. And then if you like, and we watch so many YouTube clips about the trial that were the title is bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah.
In fact, there was one time that when she was being questioned, she said, "Well, I wrote the op-ed, but I didn't write the title." And that's what they did. When I wrote that thing in 2016, right when it was going on, they titled it, Johnny Depp is Innocent and Here's How I Know. Like, I didn't write. That's so fucking, I wouldn't write that. And then when she was saying, I didn't write the article, I go, all right, this is the only time I'm on your side because I wanted to tweet her. She hasn't blocked me on Twitter. It's weird. I mean, I don't follow her or anything, but
you'd be following her in not Palm Springs, 29.
Yucca Valley.
Well, that's a big drop off from that place that Johnny has on.
Affordable.
Yeah, what?
It's affordable.
It looked affordable. Yeah.
I went to breakfast yesterday at the fucking Grand. Hello, sir.
Hey.
We're getting close to done. We've got about 10 minutes, but we'll be out there and she'll serve you a cocktail. I went to the Grand for breakfast which is they have great breakfast and it's not overcrowded on weekends. Like, all right, best kept secret that I'm ruining.
Yeah.
But I went in and it's called the basic breakfast, which is eggs, bacon, toast, hash browns. And
it's pretty basic.
The waitress came over. She goes, which one of you has the basic? I go, oh, that's me. And I point to Bingo and go, yeah, I'm with the basic bitch here. Yep. It's okay. We can be abusive to women now that Johnny Depp won his verdict. That's the backlash. Oh, now women will never because people like Johnny Depp. No one liked Johnny Depp. And if I was going to fucking sue Amber Heard, I could win because that's what most of the book, my last book, No Encore for the Donkey, is how we had all our fucking carts and wagons attached to Johnny Depp's coattails. And then she fucking ruined it. Like he was the,
that's illegal.
He was illegal wrote the argument. Foreword for my book. He was the producer of his production company of my new special, and we were doing that
the pilot.
Yeah,
we were shooting a pilot, and then no, it's all gone. So yeah.
I think
I could get at least 30 grand for all that.
I think the moral of the story with the trial with her is don't be a lying cunt. Right?
There was so much in that. And you go, well, no, he said this.
No.
What
right. I'm just saying that whether you're a man or a woman, and everybody
over. Oh, I don't know. I'm not worried about cunt.
The word cunt
no.
pertains to men as well. If you live in Europe, everybody's a cunt over in Europe, and it's used here, like, you know. Like,
suck my dick a bunch of times.
Yeah.
It's probably okay.
anyway, I just, you know, whether you're a man or a woman, you know, don't be a lying cunt. And, you know, that just seems to be the takeaway, right?
Silence. No.
Everybody shuffled their shoes a little bit.
I took an edible, you have to remember. So I'm pausing for moments because you're sending me off on flights of fancy. I think most of us, I know Chaley's been in a relationship. I've been in relationships where you are fucking completely manipulated to a point, but you're like, what are my options?
Let me ask you, why would anybody stay with a woman like that for so long under those circumstances if she wasn't just fucking incredible and fucking bad, right?
Absolutely.
No, that's...
I remember I was standing in a mall in Arizona when a headliner said to me, and I'm just looking at all these hot chicks, at knuckleheads in Tempe, or no, it was Phoenix proper.
Yeah.
Anyway, and he goes, no matter how good they look, somewhere, someone's sick of fucking them. But like every relationship I've been in, like I don't care how hot she was, like yeah, the fucking thing is the first thing that, it's not about good. As a woman, how are you good? You're available,
willing.
Even if you're sleeping on a plane, I can come. You don't have to be good.
Oh Lord.
So, yeah, that's not what it is at all.
I don't know. Cost Elon Musk $250,000.
Major gas.
Yeah, when you're a fucking, when you can manipulate like that and do, because I can. Like, it takes one to know one.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but how long have you stayed in that relationship when you knew that you were getting fucking, that was
way
happening
longer.
To you? Wait, why?
Because you don't want someone else fucking her. I think an old bit was, yeah. Do you ever stay in a relationship with someone you hate for too long, but you're so afraid of someone else fucking her? The guy's helping her move with the guy that cyclists with good calves, and he's gonna help her move a piano. Like I whatever the bit was, that was in the 90s. But yes, that was Christine Hodge. We had really nothing in common.
Well, but it seemed.
But I didn't want anyone else fucking her.
It also, but it seemed like he knew that she was like spreading it around, right? I mean, isn't that what we all got from the right?
Oh,
I mean,
with Amber Heard, yeah,
yeah, like with what the guy who also had the settlement. What's the name of the actor?
That was after
James
they.
Franco?
Oh,
Franco?
They were. Frank? That was so much bullshit in that.
Okay,
they were. But he fucked. She fucked him while they were still married. Yeah, they were still married because it takes you fucking 8 months to get a divorce.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were publicly fucking. It was public that there was a fucking restraining order. So yeah, that's divorced. If you have a restraining order, you can't go. But technically, we were married and you fucked him.
All right. I just don't. It's hard for me to understand why men or women would stay in. Well, I'm sure the lifestyle that go ahead.
Oh no, I remembered where I was going. I'm ruining it now. But I think I only have 3 days left to respond, or it's like every media outlet from the beginning has contacted me for comment, and I don't. Yeah. But some lady from some tabloid thing in Germany offered me $5,000 to appear. And I went, what if I just lie and just make up outlandish bullshit just to get the $5,000? Because that's what she cost me in 2016. It was at least another $5,000 that book would have sold, and that special would have...
Or just have Brendan Walsh do it, and then you don't even have to worry about it.
So, like, I ignored the first attempt, and then the second time she emailed me, I was high. So I went, oh, this would be funny. So I wrote her back, and I said, I have been contacted by every media outlet that you can imagine, and you're the first one that I've written back to. Because in her email, she said, we've interviewed, God damn it, do you remember the names? Like, fucking, I don't know. I was going to say, just the all
throw CNN in there.
Famous, you know, like, people that are kind of famous.
Geraldo Rivera.
She named three people that they've interviewed. And I go, you're the first person I've responded to. But to make sure that you are credible, the names that you so openly drop that you've interviewed, I would have to hear from one of them personally to let me know that you're on the level, because I don't want to be taken out of context. And then, ding, she writes back, oh, I don't know how I could do that, but... And then, ding, someone that knows Johnny used to do a thing. And so, I never responded after that, because... Yeah, yeah.
Long story short, what'd you do with the $5,000?
Oh, no, she goes, I'm doing the thing June 9th, and right now it's what, the 6th or something? I don't know. But I can't, because again, I did tell the fucking truth, and now I don't want to muddy those waters.
Yeah. No, no.
But I still want to fuck with a tabloid and take the $5,000 and actually pay it to a charity, the Innocence Project, which is my charity of choice.
Tell her that you know me, and that I'll be at a Comic-Con nearby her in the next week or two.
Where are your big draws when you do signings? Do you have places that you were fucking baffled that people know me in fucking Pago Pago? That's an American Samoa.
Well, you know, those movies, The Terminator and Aliens, those movies... You know,
are just reaching some countries.
Nah, I mean, you know, whatever. They've been around for so long, and people have loved those movies, and I don't know.
But I'm saying, has there ever been a place where you go, no one knows these fucking movies here, and you're glutted?
Everywhere I go. Everywhere I go,
but
is
I'm saying,
like,
are
that.
You surprised? Yeah. Hang on. Tell us about Tom Arnold having to perform to fucking nobody in folding chairs.
You know...
Sorry, I just read Jenny Pentland's book, Roseanne's Daughter, and then when he becomes the stepfather, oh my God, the grossest fucking person. You just want to meet him after you read those parts about Tom Arnold when he was married to Roseanne, and just fucking talk about manipulator. Should we go back to Amber Heard? I'm all over the map.
I think we've all heard enough about it.
He was nice as a little boy.
He's a single father.
Who, Tom?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been married, like, I think, 5 times, you know. He's
and given Jim four Cameron of them a run for were his. Roseanne. Did they just keep getting remarried?
Did they?
I think they, yeah.
I think they got married and then got married again, like in a ceremony. Yeah,
you were listening to the book with me.
I think the first time they got married, it wasn't with like family and stuff.
The thing I've always noticed about Tom, he did a Cameron movie, and I used to see him here and there, is that his mannerisms and the way he talks, it always seems, even now, it always seems like he's high on coke. It's just his thing is just very sort of like high on coke all the time. And I don't
sense memory.
I don't. Is that
yeah. That's not coke. Is that Adderall?
Yeah. I used to have a fuck coke problem. I'm glad I got away from that shit.
Yeah, I think some people just act that way, I guess. But he did have a coke problem.
Oh, he did. Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. Major.
And her too, or just him, or was it?
I don't know about Roseanne, but no, they were there like a lot of interventions with him with coke.
I didn't even know that. But he acts the same way now. Maybe he's still maybe those interventions didn't.
You were a coke guy, but were you
booze?
But
mostly.
Trying to get coke.
I was trying to get coke, of course,
but to drink more.
Basically, yeah.
And to coke, fuck coke? Poorly more.
No, I couldn't fuck at all on coke.
It was but you horrible. Try.
I tried. I wasted a lot of money. I wasted a lot of money because it would affect my mind sexually. I would just go into fucking hyper fucking drive and then, you know, the body wouldn't follow.
Yeah.
It was fucking horrible. And I like most addicts, I did it over and over and over again. And I'd end up with these fucking hookers that were looking at me like just bored out of their fucking mind while I'm just yapping away and I'm talking. It's just fucking bullshit.
I was in South Florida and I got 3 hookers in one night and none of them were like sexually like attractive, but I did yap at them and then pay them and then call another one and yap at them and pay them. And
I would just tell them to suck it hard, and if they couldn't, I'd blame them. Yeah, what's the matter with you?
Your mouth's not even wet. You're not turned on?
There's nothing, well, I'm sure there's some things worse, but a horrible feeling for me is being around a woman in a sexual situation with a limp cock. And it's just fucking horrible. I just find that to be like, it just takes the man out of you, you know, it beats you up pretty bad. I've been, you know, so that's why I start yapping, start talking about, you know, this and that, whatever, and fucking bore them out of their minds. Oh, those are the days. It's Robin Williams was basically, he talks about coke in that sense, you know, that like it just talk shit forever. And then, you know.
Fucking Glenn Wool had the first time I met Glenn Wool, or Brian brought me into his show and he was doing a bit about, yeah, I did LSD and coke together. That was a bad choice. Last thing you want when you're hallucinating is confidence.
Yeah, no, I was more of a booze guy. I was booze, but like you said, I used to blow to kind of keep me awake for a while, and then I'd drink more.
Yeah,
and
but I was never out like was that guy in fucking Appleton, Wisconsin. I was rubbing my shoulder and said, "Hey, when you're done with the merch booth, you want to?" He had like 4 friends. You guys, you want to go try to find some coke? I'm like, well, first of all, wait. You're not offering me coke. We're going to try to find cocaine.
It's like a buddy movie.
Yeah.
You're going to come hang out.
It's a scavenger hunt. We all split up in different directions.
In Appleton.
You're 10 years younger than me, but in the 80s, that was always part of any conversation.
Let's go. You go get in the car with them, and a guy looks at you and goes, "So do you know anybody?" Oh, fuck, that's a real guy. Shit. I don't live here.
Isn't that the guy who did some weird thing with his thumb?
He was like rubbing underneath my scapula.
Uh-oh.
Giving me a massage. Like
whispered in his ear.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Well, he was in the act for about 3 more months after that night.
What did he whisper in your ear?
Do you want to go find some coke?
Oh.
That was just, I know. That was a long time ago. You're going to be fucking, you're going to be the new Jake LaMotta on this podcast. Did I already do that one?
Yeah. 50 years.
I've fought Sigourney Weaver so many times.
What did he say? What did he say about Sigourney?
He's doing an impression of
me,
Jake LaMotta.
Explain after. Yeah. Well, okay. Let's wrap it up. Okay. Let's wrap it up. Jen is leaving stains on my bar stool. She's so clammy to do karaoke. And then we have the karaoke all-stars out there on the patio. And even though she said I wasn't going to come, hey, take us out of this, Bingo.
Okay, bye-bye now.